Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Wednesday. No, it isn't. It's Tuesday, October 30th, 2007, the only day before Halloween 2007 in the history of humanity. Hope you are having a great one, and we hope to make it an even greater one. Thank you for logging in for the beginning of the autumn pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. And normally at this juncture or thereabouts, I welcome Michael Williams onto the webcast. But Michael is in transit right now. We're waiting to hear from him. We've done this before with him. For those of you who are loyal Glenn Klein Online listeners, you know that to be the case. But in the past, we haven't known where he is. Well, we do know that he is on way to the Freedom Worship Center office because he did not trust the telephone where he is residing right now. So I am soloing, and this would be a very good opportunity for somebody to help me out and get on the phone line right now to make a contribution at 1-800-436-3260. Get it? Wouldn't that be great? If somebody called in right away and we were able to tell Michael that even before he called on, we were able to take a contribution. This is the autumn pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. Our goal this quarter is to raise $10,000, $5,000 in one-time gifts and $5,000 in annual monthly giving. And I have not even calculated that what that would come out per month. Maybe our executive extraordinaire producer and director, Patrick Jones, can hand me the calculator. Oh, here's a calculator right here. I'll tell you, the Glenn Klein Online Studio comes absolutely, what? We're fully equipped. We're well equipped, as a matter of fact. All right, so $5,000 for the year divided by 12 months. That's only $416 a month. So we need five people during the course of the next 21 days to pledge $100 a month or in increments thereof to get us to our goal for that. And then we just are looking for $5,000 in one-time gifts over the next 21 days. And that will pay the bills. And that will allow this thing to move forward, known as the Gospel Revolution. So give me a call right now. Let's get on the line before Michael even calls and just surprise the heck out of him. Call me at 1-800-436-3260. I'm going to keep repeating that number because Patrick Jones is waiting to hear from you. He'll take your calls. We want to know what you're going to be donating. We've got questions. And apparently Michael is calling in. But we want you to call in too. 1-800-436-3260. 3260. That's the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline for tonight, and as always, for the autumn pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. I've got a lot that I want to get to this evening. We've got a bunch of emails, questions, comments. But feel free to email us your questions and comments along with your pledge amount at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. There's Michael.
Here I am. Did you miss me?
We missed you, and I was commenting to the beautiful humans that the last time that you were tardy for the webcast, we had no idea where you were.
So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we thought, of course, we thought the rapture may have happened.
Well, you know, you had to show up fashionably, like.
Yes, but at least this time we knew that you were safe and sound and en route to the Freedom Worship Center office there in Houston, Texas.
Yes, to Mike Williams' office in beautiful downtown Cypress, Texas.
Oh, it's in Cypress, Texas, that's right.
Yes. We call it Houston, but, you know.
All right, so I've already introduced the concept that the next 21 days is the autumn pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution.
Awesome.
And we were hoping to have somebody call to make a donation right off the bat, even before you called. So we're waiting on that at 1-800-436-3260. But there's a lot to talk about. Patrick is waiting for your call, folks, by the way, at 1-800-436-3260. Well, last week when we decided that we were going to do the webcast on Tuesday night because Patrick wanted to take his daughter trick-or-treating on Halloween,
yes,
an incredibly satanic thing to do, by the way.
So ungodly.
It is horrible. I think we need to have an all-night prayer vigil for Patrick, and we will cast out the spirit of paganism that permeates. No, I'm just kidding, folks. I thought that the night before Halloween meant something, but it really does. I looked it up today, and All Hallows Eve is Halloween, as you said.
Yes.
But the day after Halloween is a thing called All Saints Day.
Yes.
And it's a remarkable history. The whole history of the church is of course is remarkable. But the Catholic Church, I'm bringing it up right now. I'm Googling it as we speak. Okay. The festival All Saints Day, also known as All Saints or All Hallows, it was called Hallow Mass at one point, is a feast celebrated on November 1st, or the first Sunday after Pentecost, in honor of all saints, known and unknown. Halloween is the day preceding it, and is so named because it was the eve of All Hallows.
Yes,
see?
That's correct.
All Saints is also a Christian formula invoking all the faithful saints and martyrs, known or unknown. So we all just learned something.
Yes. It's valuable information just flows here on this broadcast.
It's you know what? The whole thing is so foobar. Now, I have a question. Why has the church embraced the pagan holiday of Christmas, of course, the winter solstice, and the pagan holiday of Easter, or the festival of Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, and they leave Halloween in the lurch, and All Saints Day in the lurch? How did that happen?
Well, they're trying. They, you know, in the church that I was raised my children in, we called it Hallelujah Night. So instead of Halloween night. We got together and dressed up as apostles and Moses and Jesus and God and everybody. So
who
there is an attempt, but I don't think that caught on very well.
Who was dressed up like God, and what did they look like?
Oh, who knows? I just remember everybody was dressed up like somebody. It kind of reminded me of being in the mental institution, you know. They talk about people wanting to be spiritual, and it's like, my God, we were the most spiritual people on earth in the mental institution. Somebody was Jesus, and somebody was Mary, and, you know, it was better than church. We had the real characters right there.
All right, so you must have been dressed up as Moses, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't recall exactly what I dressed up as, but...
Or maybe you dressed up like Mary.
Well, you know, it wouldn't have been past me at all. But
all right, so
I'd have been one big ugly Mary.
We referenced you as...
No wonder it took a virgin birth, if that's what it looked like.
We referenced you as the Moses of the Gospel Revolution a couple of weeks ago. We got last week we got this email from Mary and Steve in Tulsa. And God bless Mary and Steve for living in Tulsa, first of all. But they say, we thoroughly enjoy your webcast, and I'm a gospel revolutionary. But we were a bit taken aback last week by a comment you made, Glenn, at which you seem to agree with Mike. Someone asked if Mike is the only one who has shared this message, and Glenn said yes. And although many new insights have been brought through your teaching, Mike, it seems to me that the fact of Jesus taking away the sins of the whole world was brought out by many writers in the late 1800s. I have read many of them on the Tentmaker site. That, of course, is Gary Amaral's site. And also, there are teachers today that teach Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. What say ye? Blessings, Mary and Steve. Well, first of all, that's Mary and Steve in Tulsa. First of all, Mary and Steve, thank you for the tone and the tenor of your letter. Although I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek, Michael, of course, the fact of the matter is, while clearly there have been people throughout history who grasp the concept of Jesus, and even interestingly enough, Mary and Steve in their email say that Jesus taking away the sins of the world. Jesus did not take away the sins of the world. He took away the sin, singularly, of the world. We'll talk about that in a minute, what the difference is, which is a very interesting difference. But the fact of the matter is, Michael, I never heard anybody before you articulate the grace and the peace of God and the gospel of Jesus the way that it has been articulated through you. And you are certainly, in my humble estimation, the most contemporary teacher of the gospel. And they were quoting some people from the 1800s. It's been a long time between the 1800s and now.
Yes, if I remember right on our broadcast when you said that, I said, "Well, that is as far as you know," which that's exactly what I meant. I know there's others that have introduced the concept of the work of Christ redeeming the whole world. I think that what a lot of people attribute to me and the ministry of the gospel that I've carried out over the years is that it is probably the most complete picture of the entire revelation of the scriptures about Jesus. You're probably not going to find very many people who, even though that they have taught, or at least took a good stab at teaching the redemption of the world, they still, a lot of them believe still in end-time doctrine. They didn't understand the fulfillment of all scripture at the cross, and it's not something that I need one way or the other. I hope we dig up stuff that's been taught from ages past that we have not known about.
Well, here's one thing that's for sure is that because of the advance, if you will, of the Word of Faith movement, Pentecostal churches, charismatic, we entered a whole new realm of lunacy over the last 50 to 100 years since those people. So we had to sift through that, but I think we benefited coming out the other side, because if there is anything that is a great example of what legalism and performance-based religion can do, it's found in the Word of Faith movement and charismania.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's... And people a lot of times ask me even why I think that I got this revelation, and I really can't answer that question. I know that I wanted truth, but I was around a whole lot of people who were professing that they wanted the truth more than they wanted anything. I don't know what the combination was. There's people who say that that God chose me to reveal that to. I don't feel that lofty at all, and maybe those who have been chosen to do things never felt lofty in their calling, for sure. But I'm really grateful for anybody. When we found Gary Amaroff's site, Tent Maker, we were the first to promote his site from our website, for sure. We found the information that's there. I don't agree with Gary on all of his positions, but he certainly has a view of the issue of hell that really does help people. And so we're always very, very quick to help people find other resources also. It's just like on the issue of hell. There are people who seem to teach on that in depth. I don't feel a need to because I think that the gospel makes hell irrelevant. I don't feel a need to explain it because it has become a non-issue. If Jesus suffered the punishment for sin of the whole world, and anybody that I've ever asked what they believe hell is, they say it's a place for punishment, and I say, for what? They say for sin. Well, if you believe that the cross became that place, then hell truly has become a completely irrelevant place. And I know that there's people who are also trying to give definition to hell now and make it a purging place, but I don't think we need to be purged. That what it took for us to stand in the presence of God, that fire that took away our sin, the blood that took away the sin, the fire of the Holy Spirit that consumed the sacrifice, has already taken place. And this human race stands in a glorified position before God. And our whole goal is to bring that revelation and awareness to people. And so, you know, hell becomes, as I was saying, becomes an irrelevant, very extremely irrelevant issue in my understanding. But there are others who that need these scriptures broken down and the definitions of the word, which we never knew the definitions of the word in the first place. And so really what I deal with in that is what people's concept of hell was. It really is now a very much an irrelevant issue. It's vacated. There's instead of a no vacancy sign, there is a all vacancy sign, if you will. And it's nobody can even check in. You know, they remember Hotel California said it was making a reference to hell. You can check in, but you can never check out. But it with hell now, you can never check in. And those who were there, if any, they have checked out. So. And we've been set free. That's what this glorious gospel is all about. And I'm not into trying to figure out who did it first or any of those things. I know that there's entire ministries out there now who are thriving very well, who definitely learned from me, but because of other issues, one being my sexuality. They've chosen to distance themselves from me and go on into the ministries they've got. And we're just very glad to have been able to be a part of these people. I miss them. I wish I had more contact with a lot of them. But that's happened in a lot of cases. So, we're just rejoicing that the gospel is getting out, for sure.
No doubt. And that's what tonight and the next 21 days are about. This is the special season of God to get a special
yes.
blessing.
Yes, preach it, Paula.
The blessing, ladies and gentlemen, is knowing that you're helping. And
yes.
We need your help. We don't know how to say it any more succinctly and clearly than that. We need your help. We're taking pledges in the United States. They're tax-free, deductible donations. We want to take your calls. We've got our phone lines available. It's been a little over a year now that we've been doing this webcast. We've come a long way technologically, we're on the move, but we need your help tonight. Somebody needs to get us off the schneid and get us going. It always takes that first person to pick up the phone. So we know you're out there listening. Please pick up the phone now. Contribution of any size is much appreciated, and it all goes to the same cause, which is getting this gospel out to more and more people. At 1-800.
Go ahead.
I was going to. What did you want to say?
Give them the number. Go ahead.
Yeah, give them the number. 1-800-436-3260. That is the Gospel Revolution Autumn Pledge Drive number. We just want to know how much you want to give and for how long you want to give it. For a gift of $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or over a monthly basis, $10 a month over 10 months will get you the $100. And it's 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Somebody please pick up the phone. It always takes that first caller to get the momentum going. And will you be the first one? We're asking you to be that first caller tonight. Pat Jones is waiting to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. And for gifts of $100 or more, you will receive the brand spanking new two CD teaching. I said two CD teaching in Christ. And it's
that's more than the one they never got.
Yeah, that's double, or that's more than double the one.
That's more than double nothing.
But soon enough, but those that gave on our subsequent pledge drives, or rather previous pledge drives, should be getting that in the mail because we got it all straightened out now.
They're in a stack right here in front of me. I've got one in my hand. It's a beautiful design. It's packaged, and as much as we've had to delay this, believe me, we are doing this in a fashion to where it's so organized, you're going to be very, very pleased with the design, the packaging, and everything. I just wanted it done right, and we've got people here in the Faith Worship Center that's taken over these things, and it's a good job. It just has taken more time than what we expected, but there was a whole lot of technical things to work through. But once they're done, they're done.
1-800-436-3260. As Michael said, we've got situation under control with the duplication finally, and so you will be getting your free and postage paid teaching series, the two CDs for a gift of $100 or more, In Christ, it's entitled, and a better title.
You two, can... two series, two tapes, two, or two CDs. I'm still in the dark ages here.
That's all right. We...
Now, Glenn, let me say this. We are grateful for anything anybody can give, but the one thing that I want people to understand is how vitally important your monthly contributions are. They knock a hole in this thing like you would not believe, and the consistency of it. And those of you that are doing it, I just checked on PayPal, and Lee from Hong Kong, who in our last Pledgethon contributed and then committed to $200 a month. I tell you what, you can tell that guy is a day ahead of us, because always the day before the next month, at least the day before, his contribution comes through on PayPal. Just opened it again, and Paul Hanks, who is contributing $100 a month, has already come through with his monthly gift. And I know Danny and Vivian in Nova Scotia, they always come through on the first day of the month. These things make huge, huge difference for us. And to put us in a situation where that we are now paying the bills. Thank God and thank you. We are now paying the bills. But at this point, as you start paying the bills, you start doing more, and you're able to do more, and there's more things that need to be done. And right now, during this month, we really want to raise that monthly income of Mike Williams Ministries. We need and want to raise that by $1,000 this month, $1,000 a month. And, you know, compared to any other of the ministries that you guys know of, I mean, that's just minuscule. It is just minuscule, and all it takes is everybody pitching in. And we appreciate what you do as one time, and we certainly do need that, and this has pulled us through. Each one of our pledge-a-thons have pulled us through in a way that we would have been dead in the water like we were up until the last year before. Things are getting brighter, folks, and it is because of your commitment and because of your calling in and giving the one-time gift and also the monthly contributions. It is making a huge, huge difference. And in our last pledge-a-thon, Richard Mull, our good friend out in California, my dear friend, called in, and he increased his monthly from $125 to $150. So there's a lot of you there who have been giving a certain amount, and you found out, well, hey, this isn't so bad. In fact, I might be able to contribute even a little bit more a month. And so just reach down into your heart and ask yourself that question. You know, those of you that are already contributing, you know, maybe you can add some to it, you know, and continue to increase that just a little bit. And the one thing that we always encourage people about giving, I believe in Paul's teaching about giving, and Paul said to give out of your increase. And if you increase, that's what we're asking, is if you're increasing, we ask that you increase that which you are giving into this ministry, which is having a worldwide impact. This isn't tooting my own horn by any means. This is tooting the horn of the gospel. It is making a profound impact around the world. People who never, yes, and just like our sister was saying about the writings from back in the 1800s and even prior to that, and we can track a lot of this doctrine all the way back to almost 2,000 years ago. We certainly got it out of writings that were almost 2,000 years old, and then out of the scriptures, which are even up to 4,000 and 5,000 years old. From the prophecies, we certainly know that these things have been written, but we have been given an opportunity to proclaim this gospel to this planet and to this earth. And for some reason, people are now open to hear it, Glenn, in a way that we have not seen before. And my goodness, I get calls now all the time from people who are just introducing the concept of the gospel, and then suddenly the people who are listening, I mean, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 phone calls, sometimes it's 1 phone call. We've had people talk about, you know, we exchanged, you know, 12 emails, and finally they say, I get it, and their whole life is literally infected and affected by the power of the gospel, and they see the unifying effect that this has. It's just, it really is an amazing, amazing thing. I don't know if, you know, God deliberately chose me to do this. I don't know if I stumbled on it. I don't know if I sought after it. I'm like John Adair. I'm not that smart. I do realize that. But one thing that I do know is I'm extremely grateful to understand it just for myself. Oh, my gosh. I look back over the last few years and the things that I have faced in my own personal life, and I just cannot even imagine facing life as what I've experienced it under what I used to believe. I just don't know. I don't know what that would feel like. But I can tell you what it's like under the gospel, and it's being able to find a place of peace and freedom regardless of the circumstances. And anybody that knows me knows that for a while the circumstances were eating me alive. But here I am. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm thriving, I'm at peace, and have joy. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So that's what you're becoming a part of when you choose to support this gospel. It's not even, we appreciate the fact that it does have an impact on my life, because I'm the one that's kind of at the helm here and taking the time and to go out and share this gospel. And it does impact my life. But the thing that that we're doing, it impacts my life so I can go out and share the gospel. And so I am grateful for every level of support that comes in. And like I said, you know, just clicking on PayPal and seeing these guys being as faithful as they are. I mean, here's a guy in Hong Kong, and he has been as faithful as clockwork. I mean, I know when it's the, you know, the at least the day before, the next month is because Lee's contribution comes through. And like I said, and then of course I clicked on again, and here's Paul Hankins from Indiana, who is you know, they're being faithful at what they've chosen to do. I'm being faithful at what I have chosen to do, or what I've been chosen to do. Take it however you want to, because I don't know. I know I can't choose not to do it. I've tried.
And yeah, you have.
I have tried.
You tried real good.
And Glenn knows I've done everything I could do to quit this, but it's got a hold of me. I don't know how much I've got a hold of the gospel, but I do know the gospel does have a hold of me. And this is my life. This is my being. I don't live to, you know, those that are concerned about my sexuality, I don't live to be gay. Being gay is such a minuscule part of my life. It's simply a sexuality. I live and breathe to share this gospel.
You're gay.
It just doesn't make a difference to me. I could care less. Those things have become so irrelevant.
You know, I was watching last night James Robeson. You know, he's got like that feel good talk show with his wife.
Yeah.
And he had the guy on that is head of Exodus Ministries, which is an ex-gay ministry. And the crapola that was coming out of his mouth and James Robes, I wanted to reach through the TV and slap him. And
yeah, well, it's based on lies.
Well,
you know,
well,
they're not telling the truth.
Not only are they not telling the truth, but it is such a paradigm of misconstrued understanding of the Bible, misjudging one quote-unquote sin with another. I mean, it's an absolute joke, and you know, he's being very sincere, this fellow, and you know, now that we've gone down this, Michael, you know, I kid, you're gay. It is such a non-issue. I mean, it could not be any the ministers that have embraced the gospel but have distanced themselves from us because of sexuality. It's just an absolute joke. And you know, Michael, you can see, I take it personally because I love you and because I love my other gay and lesbian friends. And for people to think that somehow sexuality comes in the way between themselves and God because of some sexual practice is just absurd. I mean, I remember when we were in the church and we had this older couple that was absolutely convinced that oral sex was of the devil. And they preached it in our church. And I know our pastors didn't agree with that. And they were squirming pretty good. So it doesn't make a difference whether it's oral sex or different types of positions or different type. I mean, it's just like every other human behavior has been completely enveloped by the love of God and by the blood of Christ, so is this one. And so for those that are hesitant to associate with a gay or lesbian person, shame on you. You haven't thought it through far enough.
And the thing of it is, Glenn, is that by the Christian community, the evangelical Christian community, gay people aren't judged because of what they do. They are judged because of what they are. And you could be, you know, and I've had people get concerned because they didn't know whether I was celibate or not. And the thing of it is, people don't know. I don't talk about those things. And but the thing of it is that people did not part from me because they found out I was doing something. It's just because I was. And that the number one thing was that I was honest. And but all of those years, it was so amazing that the people who received, goodness, you know, people profess that they received healing from broken hearts and some of the most profound things that happened in their lives, and then they found out I was gay, and then it was like, well, we can't receive from you, but wait a minute, you already did.
Oops.
You already did. But, you know, these are the things I actually, because of this whole sexual orientation thing, I know that people may not understand what I'm saying, but I actually now see it as a blessing to my sharing of the gospel, because boy, I tell you what, I don't have to be around bigots very long. It sure does. You know, cause you to understand where people are coming from, and we want to give them chances. I realize that people sometimes, because of their upbringing and things, that they just see things differently, and they need time to filter these things through. And I certainly am one who is willing to give them that time. But one of the best things that ever happened to people is not just receiving the gospel, but having to deal with the fact that the person that they received the gospel from is a homosexual man.
No doubt. That is huge. And this is one of the reasons that I think you were chosen versus just choosing it. Or maybe you were chosen and chosen too. Because this is the last sin. This is the last identity that is considered an abomination. You know, just a few decades ago, You couldn't receive the gospel from a person of color. You couldn't receive the gospel from, or any religious message from a woman. But this is the one that is the last one standing. If a gay man or woman brings the gospel and you receive it, you've got to deal with the fact that this was the vessel that God gave this message to deliver it. And it's once that last straw falls, Michael, that is the straw that breaks the religious camel's back, if you will. It happened to me, and you know it's happened to hundreds and perhaps thousands of other people. It's like, okay, I get the gospel, and you're giving this to me, and you're gay?
Yes, and these people are better people for it. That's all I can tell you is I've watched it, and these people are better people for it, and that's what you're saying, Glenn. And, but the fact of it is, one thing that I wish I could find the prophecy, I know they buried it somewhere at TBN, but it's been between 10 and 15 years ago, Benny Hinn, it's been probably 12 to 15, I was watching TBN, and Benny Hinn came on, and he said, I have a word from the Lord. And he said, the next great revival and great move of God is coming out of the gay community. Now, they never replayed it. It's one of those that never got replayed. But Benny said that. Of course, I think it was the same week that he said that dead people were going to be watching TBN and Raised from the Dead. So I'm not sure exactly about the source. But I was wondering about dead people watching TBN, but then I got all kinds of little metaphors going in my head, so I dismissed it. So. But I think it was in the same month that he said that people were going to go get their caskets of their loved ones, only in foreign countries, not in America, he said. But in foreign countries, people were going to go get their caskets from the mortuaries and set people up in front of the TV, and as they watched TBN, they'd be raised from the dead. And so far, no message of that, but it's the same guy. I have to discredit the prophecy, I guess. But who knows? Maybe he's right about one of them anyway.
This is Glenn Klein Online. This is Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. This is the Autumn Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We're half an hour in, actually almost 40 minutes in. We're still waiting to have our first pledge. Now, we know that we did this first one. We're under a little bit of a handicap because we did this first one on Tuesday night to accommodate Patrick and his daughter.
I'm sure Pat's going to make it up to us with a huge contribution.
Patrick is writing a check as we speak. Patrick, 5,000 is spelled F-I-V.
I figured we lost at least 500 by coming on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday.
All right, well, but some of you folks are listening to the archive right now, and and your contributions sent at webcast@gospelrevolution.com are just as counted towards this goal. So whether you're listening live on Tuesday night or any night or day during the week, on the archive, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. All you have to do is go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on donations, and then do your best. We're asking for $5,000 in one-time gifts. That's our goal, and $5,000 more annually that will come in via monthly gifts. And we just need basically five people to do $100 a month to meet that goal. But whatever increments it comes in, whatever you want to do, whatever you can do, it all goes into the same kitty, and we're still not at a point of being able to pay salaries and things like that, but we are paying the bills, as Michael said. So
nobody's getting a salary.
But we want to, and we should, and we will eventually, one step at a time. But we need somebody to pick up the phone right now, 1-800-436-3260, because I know that there are people listening that got the email today that said we will be on tonight. And we talked about it last week. And so we need somebody, even a $10 gift, anything to get us started, to get the ball rolling. We've got to get some momentum built here. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. So I wanted to talk about this, Michael, just so that there was no confusion and we could have it on record. I don't know if you saw this in the news today, but the Supreme Court today explored whether it could limit the reach of a child pornography law so that it would not apply to legitimate creative expression, vivid adolescent imaginations, or innocent emails with provocative headings. The court took up a challenge to a provision of a 2003 federal law that sets a 5-year mandatory prison term for promoting child pornography. Opponents have said the law could apply to movies like Traffic or Titanic that depict adolescent sex. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the provision, saying it makes a crime out of merely talking about illegal images or possessing innocent materials that someone else may believe is pornographic. Now, continuing on with this story, Richard Diaz, the lawyer for a Florida man convicted under the law, why is it always Florida, I want to know? Says,
you're there, not me. You explain.
All right, well, I will. but you're more involved in this story than you think.
Okay.
It captures protected speech, Richard Diaz said, about materials that may not even, in fact, exist. So I got to get to the part of the story where, okay, authorities arrested this Florida man, and guess what this Florida man's name was, Michael Williams?
Don't have a clue.
His name was Michael Williams.
Hey, how about that? We're everywhere.
Authorities arrested Michael Williams in an undercover operation aimed at fighting child exploitation on the Internet. And it goes on to tell the story about, you know, I mean, they worked this guy real good. But we want everybody to know that it's not our Michael Williams. There's a lot of Michael Williams out there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot. Hey, go ahead.
I just wanted to get it on the record. Michael was not in Washington, D.C. today. He was not before the Supreme Court. Diaz is not his attorney. He was in Houston. He's in Cypress, Texas right now at the Freedom Worship Center. So.
Oh, my goodness. That name. My goodness. Even in Olney, Illinois, some 20 years ago, it was published in the paper, and it used my middle name. Michael L. Williams was arrested for drunk driving, and about that time, this was when, well, it hadn't been 20 years ago, but I was already beginning to have to separate myself from the church there because it was creating such controversy, and I didn't want folks to have to go through too much. But they were certainly ready and willing to believe that it was me, and the news spread fast that I'd been arrested for drunk driving. But as it turns out, there was a gentleman there in Olney whose name is Michael L. Williams, who's had a string of situations like this and encounters with the law. But yeah, so it's a common name, but just, you know, call me Mikey, call me Mickey, whatever you want to call me, but don't call me a child molester because that I'll have problems with. You know, I want to address this thing about this, what the Supreme Court's doing here. It is so like our country to broaden laws so wide that it makes enforcing them virtually impossible. Let me tell you what this is going to do if they broaden these laws about child pornography. It's going to make it so easy for true pornographers to get by with what they do, because our court systems will be jammed with people who are suspected of, and because somebody made a comment that resembled or looked like, you know, since my family went through one of these things in particular where a pedophile was concerned. I've done an awful lot of study on this pertaining to pedophiles, and still, but the laws are still too broad, and they can't enforce them. But we really need to do something to protect the children in this country, and we need laws that are very strong for prepubescent children. And it's not that we're not concerned about all children, but now we've got the laws all spread out so far that a 17-year-old boy who allowed a 15-year-old girl to perform oral sex on him at a party in public and laughing and cutting up and carrying on, well, it was spent 2 years in prison, and they wanted him in there for 10 years for his act. And I was always thinking that it was him that performed oral sex on her, but I found out by listening to this, it's actually the girl that performed oral sex on him, and he goes to jail. There was no coercion. It was just simply because of the ages. And that's what our money is being taken up. You may not like that, but and I may not like that. I may think that it is inappropriate for teenagers to be that young and be engaging in that activity. But the thing of it is that it's happening. Our ability, this obsessive legalist who want everybody to conform to their way or the highway, just think of the money, the time that the courts and the police and the DA's office was consumed with this two adolescents engaging in oral sex. And my God, they pursued this boy, and it took an act of the Supreme Court of the state to get this kid out of this situation, even though they had changed the law. They still wouldn't let him go. So while that pedophiles, the people who prey on prepubescent children, who are completely at the mercy of their assailants, because they don't have to use force on these children. They don't even have to use coercion. They're just innocent. And until the laws begin to focus on the group that is being damaged the most, they're going to spread these laws out so thin that they just become ineffective. But that's what we really do so many times, where people are believing that it is their job to enforce morals instead of prevent crime. There's a great deal of difference between trying to pass laws about morality and then passing laws against crime. It is a crime to have any sexual contact with a child, and that is where the focus should be. When an adult has a sexual contact with a child, they should go to jail. But they don't. They don't. Why? Because our energy and our efforts are being consumed like this kid in, I'm wanting to say Georgia, I hesitate to say which state, but I think it was Georgia, and because a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old had oral sex. And this is where that, when people get consumed with trying to enforce their morality on others, it lets criminals go free, Glenn.
Right, and the same people that would be in support of a child pornography law, a lot of them are the ones that be in support of keeping anal sex illegal, keeping oral sex illegal.
Homosexuality. I mean, they want to govern morality.
Because it's morality, not crime, like you said.
Not crime. And we've got to, our legislators have to have a gospel revolution, because if they do not, they're going to continue to try to legislate morality instead of preventing crime. And there is a drastic difference. There just is a drastic difference.
No doubt. 1-800-436-3260. We're talking with Michael Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution Autumn Pledge Drive. And we're on it Tuesday night live. If you're listening to this live on Tuesday night, we need your help to get us going. And call us at 1-800-436-3260. Perhaps you've got a comment, a question, and hopefully you've got a pledge you want to make. We're endeavoring to raise $10,000 over the next 21 days, divided by $5,000 in one-time gifts and $5,000 annually in monthly giving. And for $100 or more, you'll receive the new Teaching 2 CD series called In Christ. And somebody's listening live right now around the world that can pick up the phone at 1-800-436-3260 to make a contribution, to get us off the schneid, to encourage us, and to get the momentum going in the right direction. 1-800-436-3260. It's always the first one. It takes time. We understand. And that's why we put in 90 minutes on these Pledge Drive webcasts. Patrick puts in the extra time. We're here for an extra 30 minutes. 1-800-436-3260. Who will pick up the phone and get online with us right now? If you're listening on the archive, your gifts and contributions at webcast@gospelrevolution.com will obviously count towards the goal, but we need to hear from somebody live right now, either by calling us at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We've got tons of emails, Michael. I want to get to them, and I think it's a good time to mention, week after week after week, except for 3 weeks a quarter, we just address your questions, address your concerns, talk about the gospel, talk about these issues without asking for any money at all. But tonight and for the next 2 weeks after, we are asking for your help. We have bills to pay. You can appreciate that. We spend time and effort and energy and in getting this gospel out. And so many of you have commented that this gospel has radically changed your thinking and your approach to life. And many of you have said that this is the greatest, most important message that you've ever heard. So let's have our money where our mouth is and give it up tonight. I mean, I don't know how to say it any more directly than that. We all have benefited tremendously from this message, and now we're asking you to participate in it by giving of your hard-earned money. 1-800-436-3260 or webcast@gospelrevolution.com. All you've got to do is go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations, and make your gift, monthly gift, a one-time gift, or $100 or more. You'll receive the 2-CD series, In Christ, and that will come out promptly to you, we're happy to say. And then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, regardless of what day or time you do that, to let us know that you did do it. Michael, this week I had a lengthy conversation with one of the new champions of grace, and you can find that information too, by the way, at the gospelrevolution.com website, Champions of Grace, and he's newly credentialed, and we talked quite a bit about how long it takes for somebody to sometimes understand the gospel and the investment that is taken in a person's life in time and energy, sometimes money. And I talked about what happens when freedom comes into a situation that was heretofore governed by legalism and by a dictator or a fascist mentality. And we know that a lot of times, we've seen this both in our lives and in many people's lives that are listening right now that have been involved with the gospel revolution, that things go crazy for a while. When freedom comes in, sometimes things go a little nuts. And so we've
it's not that freedom causes things to go nuts. It's the giving up legalism that causes things to go nuts. These are not the effects of grace. These are the residue of legalism when things really go crazy. Because you know, when you're used to operating under a paradigm of legalism, it takes time to find the borders of your heart rather than finding a rule or a law to operate by.
Right, the borders that were set up by a government or a church government or whatever.
Yes.
So we've got this email from Julie in Montana, and she says her former pastor, and I won't give his name, has embraced the gospel of peace. However, in doing so, he discontinued his relationships. He does not walk in a relationship with the Lord, she says. He walks in a relationship with theology, which is not life-giving. It's not transforming. And now he's a drunk, he's a liar, he's an adulterer, and he's extremely deceived. She's friends, Julie is, with his ex-wife. And, you know, she's obviously been very hurt by this situation. Julie says that this pastor is under the influence of Jezebel, and no amount of having heard the gospel of peace is helping him now. It is very important to have your listeners know that the relationship with the Lord is still actually part of the picture. I do know people and pastors who receive this freedom who are now walking in more love and do not walk in total disregard for relating to their brothers and sisters appropriately. We'll continue to pray for them, although I believe in God's grace and his gospel of peace big time. I also believe that this pastor has distorted the message now in a big way. and that's from Julie in Montana. And, you know, Michael, it's a point well taken. When the gospel comes in, the parameters that legalism put on people are gone. And what happens is you go from a situation of being imprisoned. You know, it kind of reminds me when the prisoners in the concentration camps from World War II were freed. Many of them ended up become incredibly obese because they had not been able to eat for all their time in prison in those concentration camps, and they did not know how much was enough to eat. And plus, just their physical bodies, of course, started storing fat because they had been starved near to death. And, of course, one thing that we know, and this is one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, that diets don't work, is that when you're starving your body and then you start consuming calories again, your body starts storing fat just in case you ever fast again or ever starve again.
Right.
So this is a great analogy of what happens to people who've been starved from freedom. They get a sense of the freedom that they do have in Christ, and they start gorging themselves on things that are not necessarily the most healthy or the most advisable thing to do. But what we have found, Michael, over time, is that the gospel does exactly what the Bible says, that it will bring stability to one's heart over time.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I do know who they are referring to. In fact, I got an email from his daughter also. We're not going to mention his name on the air. But I do know who they're talking about, and I got a letter from his daughter. And, you know, it's a sad thing that has happened, and I don't know. I mean, his daughter wrote me as though I knew the details of this and the comings and goings of it, and I don't know. I do know that there was a really, really bad divorce that took place, and I know both sides were accusing each other of being liars and all of these things. Thus, the difficulties of a divorce. But the thing that really saddens me is it's not even the actions of the person, but it is the misconception that somehow that God's grace creates that in someone. And you know, the one thing that I can tell you for sure is that we may not understand all things, but the one thing that we do know is that God's grace never, ever, never leads to someone, the destruction of someone's life, nor of individuals around them, for them to be destructive of people who are around them. And like I say, I don't know. I know who they're referring to, but I don't know. I've not been in contact with them for, I think now, a couple of years at least. And I knew that even back then that things were that they were getting difficult. But the let me stand and say that regardless of what anybody does, the grace of God and being freed from legalism is the most important thing that can happen to a human being. Now, one thing that the gospel does is, and freedom does, is that it reveals the heart. It does not create. It is never. Grace has never created a bad heart that would cause somebody to do evil to somebody or to themselves. But the one thing grace does is it takes off all the wraps, and whatever's there is there.
Right.
Now, the nice thing about it is that they have that person then has the opportunity to face down his demons, if you will, and his or her demons. And we have the opportunity to face down the truth about ourselves, whatever that truth may be. And but that's a choice, you know. The grace of God is never going to force someone to alter their life or their attitude or the way they treat people at all. But let me make it very clear: the grace of God never inspires someone to go on self-destruct, nor to destroy or hurt the lives of those around them.
Right, and because of if it was the gospel coming in, then people who are still in legalism never would go through this kind of thing, and they do all the time.
Absolutely.
We just saw it very publicly with Randy and Paula White.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
All right, 1-800, go ahead.
And the thing of it is that at least, you know, and I realize these wounds and these are very, very open, and this is a very current issue for this entire family. But at least they get to deal with the truth now, whatever the truth is.
Right.
And, you know, if the man is a liar, then he's a liar. Then you deal with the fact that he's a liar, and he has to deal with the fact he's a liar. If other people in the situation are misrepresenting themselves or not being truthful, then that gets exposed too. The one thing, the one good thing is that you now get to deal with things as they truly, truly are.
That's a great point, and I hope that helps, Julie, out there in Montana. Just hang in there, because if the gospel has permeated this guy's mind, and he stays in it, over time you're going to see some stabilization. That's what happens. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number. We're taking your pledges tonight for the winter pledge, or for the winter, almost winter, for the autumn.
Oh, man, don't bring it on faster than we need to, Glenn.
For the autumn pledge drive, and our goal is $10,000. We're at a grand total of $0 so far. You can do something about that right now by calling us at 1-800-436-3260. Who will call us? We need somebody to pick up the phone and call. 1-800-436-3260. Whatever that total is, it's appreciated as always, and will help get the ball rolling. 1-800-436-3260, or you can email us your donations at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We got a lot of good questions, and we want to get to these in the next 30 minutes. And there's the phone ringing, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. 1-800-436-3260 is the number that person called. We're going to get them online real quick. But here's a great question from John in New Jersey, which kind of dovetails nicely into what we're talking about. He says, I would love to hear you speak about the life we have available to us since we have known this gospel. We now have the power and grace to live really great and meaningful lives, helping others, and by that, I mean attracting more to this truth. Isn't that what we should be doing? Thanks always. That's John in New Jersey.
Yes, John in New Jersey. Absolutely. I think that the revelation of the gospel, the thing of it is the gospel gives you nothing. The gospel reveals to you what you have. And it first off reveals to you a relationship with God that is unearned and cannot be destroyed, nor can it be walked away from. And just like our friend who that Julie was writing about, he does have relationship with God. He just doesn't realize that. He doesn't know that, and it's not something that has settled into the heart of a person. But you also become aware of something called the fruit of the Spirit, I think the gifts of the Spirit, and that these things began to be things that we begin to explore in our lives and allow them to become a part of our lives so that we can do exactly what he said, and that is to reach out to others. And of course, and anytime we're talking about any of these things, we always know that the greatest of these is love.
No doubt. You know, John says, isn't this what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing, John, and this is frankly what we do, we're supposed to be doing what's on our heart to do. And that's what we do, isn't it, Michael? I mean, we do what we want to do. We do what's in our heart to do. And the reason we do the Gospel Revolution and do this webcast and the reason that you're out speaking the way you are is because that's what's in your heart to do.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the strange thing. And I you know, I want to testify to the power of God's grace. I mean, my gosh, there are so many things in my life, Glenn, that I battled and fought and all of this stuff. And we've had conversations about this recently. And now they're just irrelevant. I mean, there is no compelling force. I literally live from my heart. I do only that which I truly desire to do. And let me tell you, I am not hurting anyone. I'm not lying to anyone. I'm not disregarding or degrading, or I'm not committing a single crime. Believe me, I'm not committing any type of crime whatsoever on anybody's books, anybody's laws, anywhere that we have here in this country. You know, if I was in Iran, of course, I would be one of those that existences that that they just don't have an Iran. You know, the president of Iran said we don't have gay people. And but then I'd be dead because he truly wouldn't have another gay person there. But it wouldn't be because of what I did. It would be, again, they don't execute people in Iran for gay activity or homosexual activity. They execute them for being. And but this is the thing, is that I I live from my heart, and I do not have any, sometimes I wish I had a bad habit just to have something to do, you know.
Well, you have a very bad addiction, right?
I do have.
I'm going to tell you, that addiction is that you've got this addiction to your friendship with John Adair.
Yes, I do have that, and
that can be very.
I have several addictions like that, and that's probably who our caller is.
That is who our caller is. You talk about a giver and a lover. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center in beautiful Houston, Texas, Mr. John Adair. John!
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
I had to call in because I thought Julian Montana was talking about me. I thought they're just not saying my name. I'll call in and confess right now. Well, it was me. And that really was me. That was me. There is no doubt about it. That was me. And, you know, as bad as the quote-unquote fruit looked on the outside by taking a snapshot in time of my life in that particular time, you know, many years ago, that was not indicative. It was not an accurate portrayal of what was in my heart.
Yeah.
But what was really in my heart was in resistance to coming out the way it used to, which was through fear and behavior modification and trying to do the right thing. But it was still in my heart. I just refused to let it come out based on false pretenses, false actions, false being phony to myself. And until that was resolved in my own heart, the fruit couldn't begin to change. But once it was resolved, then the fruit began to change as a result of being me, free to be me. And that's really, I think, where this pastor in Montana that Julie was referring to is at. And I couldn't concur with Michael more that in one area, that in time, and Glenn, I think you said it as well, in time, it's certainly going to show true.
No doubt.
Sometimes the best thing is not always the easiest path, is it, John?
No, it's not. And I'll tell you, it does make you stronger, especially when those that you love are around you. You can't see beyond the facade and the bushes of denial and destruction. When they can't see beyond that fruit, when they can't see beyond what it looks like in this moment, in this snapshot of time, it makes your resolve stronger. It makes your identity freer from the things that you do as opposed to who you are. And so in some respects, I think they're probably doing them a favor by, you know, calling him an adulterer, calling him a drunkard, doing these things, because in his heart, I can almost assure you, he's learning who he is, and those things that they see him doing is not who he is. You know, Michael, you know, I've told you many times, I have a strong aversion to somebody calling another person gay or lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're gay or they're lesbian. And I have a strong aversion to that, and the reason for that is because they're putting a whole identity based on an action. And I can't find anywhere in the Bible that God declares us based on what we do. That his whole issue that he was facing with man was trying to get man to understand it's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that will determine what you do. But until you find out who you are, what you do will never match up with who you are.
And Michael, isn't that what the gay rights movement has all been about? Is that they don't see themselves as redeemed humanity, whole, one with everyone else. They identify with themselves the way they conduct themselves sexually. No straight person walks around calling themselves, "I'm a straight man." Nobody says
right.
that. That's not their identity. Even though they may practice heterosexual sex, they may do more than practice it. They may have it down real good. But they don't see themselves as, you know, "I am a straight man." They have straight sex.
I look at Michael as a male friend of mine. He's a male friend. I don't look at him as homosexual. I don't look at him as gay. And when I hear those terms, it just makes me cringe, because I know what they're doing with that is formulating this whole identity. And you've seen it as well as I have, is they take on this whole facade, this whole personality that's not even that person. If you take the time to get to know that person, and I mean time, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to know that person, you'll see all that facade come down. But
yeah,
it's
going
to take
that conversation. We've had this conversation. I know I've had it with John and with Glenn also, and that is my somewhat of a dilemma, is the fact that I really don't fit in the gay community. I don't, you know, I tried really hard to go to the bars and the clubs and you know, God bless everybody there, but I just didn't fit in. I don't fit in there. And just the gay community at large, because of that very thing, is because their identity is rooted in their sexuality. And my identity is so rooted in Jesus, my sexuality just is, it's just a thing, you know, it's not me. And you know, here I am rejected by the Christian community because, quote, I'm gay, and I don't fit in the gay community because of this identity crisis that seems to be there, that really wants to live out their lives based on a sexual identity. And that's just so, living out any identity other than that which is, even though it's not going to change you from being, it's not going to change your sexual orientation, but my gosh, you don't have to live out your life with an identity of your sexuality. Everyone has the right to discover who they are in Christ, which that's the two CD series we're giving away to all of those people who are calling in with a $100 donation, is in Him. It's a powerful revelation, and it's so much so it took us two CDs to get it out to you. There is that thing. But I tell you what, you know, this is the thing, folks. I don't fit in, quote, Christian community because of the way they view me, and I certainly don't fit there because of the gospel that I share for the vast majority of it is concerned, and I don't really fit in the gay community. But you know what? I don't feel left out because the sense of identity that I have because of the revelation of the gospel gives me peace with myself, and that's who I've got to live with. My relationships that I have with, just like these two gentlemen that are online with me right now, I could not love another man more than I do John Adair or Glenn Klein. But and do you know how many quote straight men could not even handle a statement like that from what they because of my sexual orientation? But the thing of it is because we're all so open about these things and we do not establish our identity in these things, it actually makes the love relationship even stronger, because we've rejected the things that would prevent us from having a love relationship. We know the things that would stop that from happening, and I think it causes us to even treasure it that much more if it's possible.
And John, don't you think that at the end of the day, that's what we're coming to in the gospel, is that obviously the fact that we engage and are attracted sexually in a certain way, or that we have parents that were Jewish or were Lutheran or were African American or whatever. All that stuff means absolutely nothing when you get to the core issue, which is everyone is the same in the eyes of God. And when you get to that point, you can love people. You know, you can even love people who don't believe the gospel.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. And I think that that is going to be the fruit of this gospel. It may not happen in our lifetime, but I think that humanity is going to see themselves ultimately for who we truly are, which is just one redeemed people. And when you identify with that, you can hear almost anything and embrace somebody for who God made them to be.
Right. Well, Glenn, that's absolute, and that is what this is all about, is having, you know, the only thing that motivates me in any of this is experiencing God's love for me. If I didn't experience God's love for me, I really wouldn't give two hoots about you. And that is the truth. It is the fact that we know we are loved. It's experiencing that we're loved that empowers us and gives us the ability to love. And what's so awesome about that isn't just that we have the ability to love, but what joy it brings to actually love, to actually love someone. To say a little bit more about Mike's sexual orientation and kind of how I view that, I have a good friend that all he looks at, he's heterosexual male, that all he likes to look at is women that are brunettes. He couldn't give two cents for a dark-haired girl or a blonde or a redhead, but boy, you put a brunette in front of him and he's like gaga over her.
How weird.
See, now to Michael, that's weird. And
well,
to me, that's weird. And it's for two different reasons why we think it's weird.
Well, it's for the same reason, but it just takes on a little different description.
I just think, you know, why exclude the redhead and the blonde and the dark-haired girl? You know, Michael thinks, why are you looking at girls, period? So, you know, now, here we take something, and we're going to stifle our ability to love one another on a premise of someone's sexuality or sexual preferences that are temporal matters. We're going to look at the ability to love, which is an eternal matter, and compare it and allow that to be limited by a temporal matter. Last time I saw, there is no giving in marriage or no sex in heaven, as far as I know, and eternity. And if that's then going to be a no-brainer, it's a non-issue, then why make it an issue now? Don't we want, you know, as Jesus prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Don't we want the same community that God has that we're going to be spending eternity in to be here now? I would hope so. And we can have that. We can have that now. We can have eternity now by having reconciliation now. See, Michael, I worked that into the plug. I told you I was. Reconciliation now. Reconciliation now. And I have to say, I actually got that from Rick Spencer. He threw that at me the other day and just kind of nonchalant, and I grabbed hold of that. And he is so right on. Reconciliation now. That's what we're all about. That's why we want to spread this gospel, share the good news, to bring reconciliation now. And to let
people know
we can have
peace. I like what you
said,
John. I like what you said about the eternal community. And goodness, we could do a 6-week series on the eternal community.
There you go.
And the reason that people are so focused on somebody's sexual identity is because they have not been taken over by the concept of reconciliation and redemption. When you're more focused on the righteousness of God versus human behavior, you're going to be, it's what we do every single week on this webcast. Every time John stands up at the Freedom Worship Center, or Michael does, or Michael goes out publicly, or when I spoke at my brother's synagogue a few weeks ago, what were we talking about? We were talking about the reconciliation of humanity through God. That's what our focus is. Everything else, it don't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference what political party you belong to. It doesn't make a difference what color hair you're attracted to, if you like large-breasted women, small-breasted women, or no women at all. All that, I mean, you talk about temporal, that doesn't mean anything. When I don't know what heaven is, but I
hey, don't leave me out of that. All the women.
I don't know what heaven's like, but I have to think, John and Michael, that it's consumed with the glory of God. And when you are consumed by the glory of God, you're really not very concerned about anybody else. And you realize that everybody else is included in that glory, and you see people in the prism of that glory, through that prism. And when people, Michael, are filtered through the blood of Christ, you see somebody for who they actually are, is a blood-bought, washed, righteous, holy, perfect, whole person. And how they engage in their behavior behind closed doors and in their bedroom, who cares? It don't make a difference.
That's their business.
All right, John.
Absolutely. And I think that this really ties into what we were talking about earlier. I mean, it would really give us the ability to truly deal with crime for what it is if we did not judge people based on these things. And then we would be able to, as government, to truly deal with the criminal element in our society. But until we separate these two issues, it's going to be so watered down that we're not going to even be able to stop murderers, much less anybody else. Talk about child rapists and everything. But it would give us some clear cut goals as far as our laws are concerned. That's for sure.
All right, John. We got about 10 minutes left, and I need you to articulate to the folks, whether they're listening live or via the archive, why they should be financially supportive of the Gospel Revolution and Michael Williams Ministries.
Well, let me take a little different spin and say, instead of why, I'll say what. What are you supporting now? What are you giving into now? What are you sowing into? What is it that you're propping up in this world now? Is it Blockbuster? Or is it a habit of yours? You know, I particularly like smoking cigars. But if it came down to my ability to give to see this gospel further or buying a pack of cigars, contrary to what Michael might tell you, I wouldn't choose the cigars. And we are giving to something now. The question is, what is it we're giving to? And when we can give to the gospel, and what I mean by that is when you can give into Mike Williams' ministry, what that does is first it alleviates his mind from thinking about where his next meal is going to come from. And sometimes it's right down to that. And by that alleviation, his focus is crying out, what's in these scriptures? What's in this Bible? What's in the spirit and the heart of God that would have me deliver a word that would set people free, that would demonstrate the love of God for them personally, intimately, experientially for them? And if you have experienced that through his teaching, then that's what you're giving to someone else vicariously through Mike. That is something to support. That's something to give into. Now, what we hope to do in the future is to get some of these stories back from people like yourselves that are listening out here tonight and through the archive of how this has changed your life, what it has freed you from in your thoughts and your heart and your guilt and your shame, what has it done for you in your life. That is what you're doing for someone else. And for you to have received that from Mike, someone along the line supported him enough to get that message to you. Now, that's not a guilt trip. That's just the logistics of how it works.
Yeah.
And that's a simple principle of sowing and reaping. And you will reap what you sow. Now, that's not talking, I don't want to get into a whole theological discussion on that, but you will receive the joy of seeing someone else touched by knowing and seeing for themselves in the gospel that love is unconditional, which means It has no conditions to it. And when you can sit there and watch someone just set free and walk taller, walk fuller, and maybe not immediately, but as those years go by and you watch the effects it has in their lives, and preaching this almost 20 years myself now, I've been around the block to see what it does for people. And there's no greater joy than to see that happen. No greater joy. And that's what you're supporting. So just take an inventory of your own life. What are you supporting? Where is your heart? Are you really backing up what your own heart wants to do? And then stretch a little further. You know, I did this little test a while back, or an example, this demonstration. Had one of the guys in the church stand up, take a pencil in his hand, and reach as high as he could. And I exalted him and said, reach higher, as high as you could. Is that as high as you can go? And he'd say, yeah. And I'd say, push a little further. And he'd push, reaching up as high as he could and would make a mark on the wall with that pencil. And after he made that mark, I said, now I want to show you, once you take the inventory of the mark that you want to hit, you can always press beyond it. So then I encouraged him, take the pencil again. And you know where he put the next mark? Higher than he did the first one. Why? Because he had a focus as to what he was trying to reach. And when you have that focus of what you're trying to reach, what it is you're trying to do, you'll find that you not only have the ability to do it, the strength to do it, but it will line up with what your own heart has been wanting to do all along. And your heart, if you're listening to this message, you are wanting to be involved with the gospel and spreading that news. Or you wouldn't be listening right now. You want to be involved. So here's your opportunity. Pick up the phone, dial the number, go to the website, gospelrevolution.com, send an email to webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and make a pledge. Make a one-time gift, make a monthly gift, but get involved. Line it up with your own heart. And that's what you are supporting, that others might be set free.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys.
Much appreciated. Thanks
for
the call.
All right. Have a good night.
There's
tomorrow.
There's John Adair from the Freedom Worship Center. Always a pleasure. All right. Well, so John's been on our other line, and now it's open for you to call after that appeal at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Patrick L. Jones still waiting to take your calls. I mean, that's a great point, Michael. I mean, people would not be listening to this if they did not want to be involved.
That's right. Yeah, so rebuke those devils and pick up that phone.
1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We still have lots of emails. And for folks, when you email us a question or a comment, and we don't get to it in that particular webcast, know that eventually we will get to your comments and to your questions. But our focus over these next three webcasts is to raise the funds that will allow Michael to eat over the next 3 months and also pay the bills. That's just the reality of it.
It is. It's very real. It gets too real sometimes.
Speaking of getting real, we got this email a couple of weeks ago from Chip, who was the guy who emailed us about recommending that particular antidepressant for our friend Ron on the West Coast. And he emailed us and said that he was so happy to hear that Ron had not committed suicide, Mike.
Yeah,
we were very happy to hear that, obviously, as well. And Chip also reminded us what the particular medication was that he had found so successful for himself. And we're happy to let you know, Chip, that Ron has been notified of what that was. And our assumption is that he is in touch with his doctor. We got a really nice email from Ron. And one of the most powerful things that happened in that email, Michael, was that Ron said, whether it be all right with God or not for us to commit suicide and kill ourselves and to get to heaven faster, he said if there was any possibility that it would have a negative effect on his loved ones, then he'd hang around for a while. And I you know what? That's the gospel at work. That's love. That's putting other people's feelings and thoughts ahead of our own, and that was so powerful. It was so wonderful to receive that.
Very much so, and I mean, it is a demonstration of what true freedom does, you know, that it does open the eyes. It causes you to see beyond yourself, and one of the most hideous lives that a person can live is one with their eyes turned inward. And I remember years ago being taught, you know, to constantly look into myself and find my faults. And it's like I told people publicly, I said I just got tired of finding things wrong. I said, you know, the list just kept growing, and I just stopped looking. And that's when that song became so precious to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And it really is true. When a life focused on itself becomes small, and you don't see the value of the people around you. But the only thing the strange thing about it is that it is only the message of freedom. He had to know he was free to commit suicide if that's what he chose to do.
And we told him that too, didn't we?
Yes. And then of course John came on and told him, you know, God brought you in, take you out. So, we were sharing with him the whole thing was the message of freedom. And freedom opens your eyes. It helps you to see that which is reality. And let me tell you something, folks, if you're looking deep into yourself and looking at your faults and your shortcomings, that's not reality. And that's not where you're going to find the glory of God. By looking at yourself, you need to look at what God's view and opinion of you is, and there you find the true glory, the view and the opinion of God, which results in tremendous impact upon the heart, not only of yourself individually and myself individually, but of those around.
Well, we got an email from Tim Pruitt, who is our webmaster. This reminds me of all the people that continue to volunteer for this effort. And he says that we got contributions from Lee in Hong Kong and from Paul in Indiana tonight, totaling $300. Now, those were already committed to, right, Michael?
Yes. Yes, those are monthly, yes. And Paul made that contribution just about 15 minutes before we went online. And, yes, so, no, we're very grateful for those. But that's what I was saying, was that those are the that's the difference that this makes, you know, is being able to, let me tell you folks, being able to click on and whether it's PayPal or call in the office and finding out, you know, that people are coming through with their checks or the automatic withdrawal from their card from the office. It's like, you know, goodness, the terminology of somebody being a partner with you, I hate to use something that has been so tainted, it seems like, by the religious community, but it really is a partnership. It really, really is, and it's a reaching out to the same people that we are reaching out to, and you're just helping us do it.
And, you know, we're slowly but surely re-embracing some of those things we threw away because they have been so tainted. However, I think, you know, we've had a couple of webcasts or pledge drives during the webcast that have gone like this where we just haven't seemingly got any response or much response. We're going to chalk this one up to partially because we did it on Tuesday night. So if you're listening to the archive, there's lots of time to get in during the course of the week. To be counted towards our goal. But I think also, Michael, it's good for folks to know that sometimes we struggle too.
Yes.
But we just keep picking ourselves up. The difference, ladies and gentlemen, between the people that win and the people that lose, or the people that succeed and the people that fail, the ones that succeed are the ones that just get up the floor one more time. And so we're going to be here doing our thing, and as John encouraged you earlier, you do your thing now. And give us a call next week, because we won't be answering the phone from now until next Wednesday. But go to the website at gospelrevolution.com and email us with your donation that you'll make there. Just click on donation. Let us know what you did so we can count it on towards this week's goal. We got 7 days to make up. We need to raise $3,333 during this week. Whatever you can do, will be greatly appreciated and count towards that goal, and then we'll come to you next Wednesday night and start fresh all over again. One thing that you and I, and I know John and so many other people have decided, Michael, we ain't quitting no matter what.
No, that's true. You know, whether the phones ring or not, the emails come in or not, we're still going to be going. You know what? We honestly, we're just inviting people to share in the joy that we have in doing this. Because you know, like I say, we're not going to quit. You know, the people that we have doing things that do it for free, from myself to Glenn to Tim to everybody that's involved.
Well, you've got meetings coming up next month in Calgary, in central Wisconsin, in Marshfield, in southern Wisconsin, in Beloit, Wisconsin. By the way, you can go to the website and get information,
yes,
about that, ladies and gentlemen. All these people, we do it for free.
Yep.
And that's because that's how much we love it. That's how much we love you. And that's how committed we are to the gospel. I mean, it's, you know, we don't have any choice, really, Michael. I mean, that's the bottom line.
It's very true. Very, very true.
All right, buddy. Don't be discouraged.
No, I'm not.
I know. I was suggesting that for all the folks that
I'm hungry, but I'm not discouraged.
Are you going to go to Sonic now? All right. Well, hey, happy Halloween.
Yeah, you too, Glenn. God bless you guys. Thanks to everybody that's tuned in.
I'm going to go as a charismatic minister.
Hallelujah.
That should be truly scary. All right, brother. I love you.
Love you too.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. Get on the email and let us know what you are going to do this week. Webcast at gospelrevolution.com. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com website. Make your donation, whether it be a monthly or a one-time. For $100 or more, you'll receive the new two-CD series, In Christ, free and postage paid and timely. Hallelujah. Thanks to Patrick L. Jones, and really have a safe and fun Halloween, and enjoy yourself out there. This is Glenn Klein online. Till next time, shalom, everybody.